Welcome to another episode of Midday Maidan. This is Sachin Kalbag from Midday. And with me is Ashwin Ferro, the sports editor of Midday. Hi, Ashwin. The FIFA World Cup begins in a few hours.
Hi, Sachin. Yeah, absolutely exciting. Buffet is ready. Take your pick.
So, is this the first time? And tell me whether I'm right or wrong. Is this the first time that we're not feeling as excited as the previous World Cups?
Yes, Sachin, a lot of reasons. I think the timing factor, matches are at weird hours. And of course, the most important factor is the political factor, the political influence. I think for the first time, football has been secondary and politics is primary. Unfortunate, but it's the harsh reality.
Also, the geopolitics. I mean, I've been covering geopolitics for long. I lived in the US and I've never seen an administration so arrogant, so out of whack in terms of letting people in. They've asked referees to go back, and the Somalian referee, who was voted as Africa's best referee in 2025, has been asked to go back just because his name matches with some random terrorist associated with some African militia movement. The Iranians have been facing a lot of trouble. The Iraqis have been facing a lot of trouble. Scotland fans have been asked to go back, or they've been not their visas have not been approved. Or, I mean, actually, Scotland does not need a visa to go to the US, but that ESTA, which is a travel application to go to the US, those have been rejected at the last moment. The prices are skyrocketing. Wall Street Journal, the venerated American newspaper, I was reading a report that they did. If the Americans go from the group stage into the playoff stage, an average fan will end up spending a minimum of $22,000, which is 22 lakh rupees in Indian currency. $22,000 is not an easy spend for any American who's a crazy football fan. So a lot of problems. Plus, of course, they're going to have ICE and CBP personnel at all stadiums, trying to figure out whether this person is a terrorist or that person is a terrorist, is an immigrant or not. It's crazy out there. And this is not the scenario, this is not the atmosphere, this is not the ambience in which a World Cup should be played. I mean, you've covered World Cups earlier, you've covered Olympics earlier. Clearly, this is not the environment that you want to work in.
True. The sad part is there are so many negative stories coming out from the US. As I said earlier, football's taken the second step. The first step is politics. The story is like the Senegal World Cup team players being patted down physically on the tarmac. I mean, that's so embarrassing for a team who's done so well to come to the World Cup. Stories of 39 countries being banned, so to speak, or on the restricted list to enter the USA. I think a World Cup cannot have restrictions. If you're hosting the world, you welcome the world. You can't have a select view on certain countries and ban certain countries. The referee who got banned, it was so unfortunate. He's trained for 4 years for this. He's used up FIFA's funds to travel the world to hone his skills, and now he's sent back home. But I think US has always done this. Even the security has been high for other tournaments as well. They're a little paranoid now for reasons better known to them. But for the average fan, it doesn't matter. You know, it's just football that matters. I really hope things improve in the next month or so.
The funny thing, I mean, be on hindsight, it looks funny. But the truth is that many of the countries that are playing have qualified for the World Cup are not able to play properly in the right frame of mind, because at the back of the mind, they're wondering, is some ICE, you know, patrolling person going to come and pick them up from a crowd? The Iranians, of course, now I can understand that the Iranians will be looked upon with certain degree of skepticism, with suspicion by the Americans. They had to move their training ground from Arizona to Mexico. This is just one of the side effects of the Americans looking at this event, not as an event, not as a celebration of sport, but an extension of their politics. And this is not a Washington versus Tehran issue. This is an issue where 48 countries of the world have qualified for the World Cup. This was decided years in advance. It is not some, you know, recent development after the Iran after Iran was attacked by both US and Israel. So clearly, a lot of thought has gone in organizing this tournament. The other thing is that the earlier, I think 1994 was the last time that America hosted the World Cup, and Then it was locally organized by the American Soccer Federation. This time it is directly organized by FIFA. So FIFA has a lot of blame to carry here because they awarded Donald Trump that ridiculous Peace Prize because he missed on the Nobel Peace Prize. And then to kowtow to him, they're going the extra mile to please him and displease the soccer fans, millions and millions of soccer fans around the world. It's, I mean, on the eve of the World Cup, you and I should be talking about whether Brazil is going to win or Germany is going to win. Will England make a, you know, ridiculous, miraculous comeback after 1966? Instead, we are talking about politics. I mean, it's completely unfortunate.
Very unfortunate. You know, the funny thing here is when I covered the last World Cup in Qatar, alcohol was banned, being a Gulf country. And we thought, oh my God, it's catastrophe. No alcohol. How will the fans manage? Can you imagine, who would have thought 4 years later they would ban people?
So no people, no alcohol. The root of the problem has been destroyed, yeah? But yeah, I mean, but coming to the positive side of it, the truth is that you still have a Messi playing in the World Cup. You still have Ronaldo playing in the World Cup. You have lots and lots of, I mean, you have Erling Haaland who's playing. You have Yamal who's playing. You have Mbappe who's playing. So all of these great players are still going to play. I mean, we're still going to have a great World Cup in terms of the quality of football. So we've put aside the politics part of it. We are dismayed, we're disappointed, we're dejected. But on the other side, you still have great teams who are going to be there. Spain, Germany, France, Mexico, Brazil, Colombia. I know that Italy has not qualified for the second or the third time now, which is unfortunate. But the fact is that you still have good quality African nations who have suddenly zoomed in popularity. The way they are playing is more aggressive. They are all playing in the European League, so they are used to world-class football now. They are becoming a force to reckon with. So given all these circumstances, do you still think that the African nations have a chance, or do you think that, you know, the South African, South American, or the European nations will still take the World Cup this time?
You know, the African nations have known to spring surprises. The way Cameroon beat Argentina 1-0. I'll never forget that game a few years ago. But the point is here is that the Europeans enjoy success because their system is so powerful and so professional. This World Cup, I think, is the most open World Cup in a number of editions. You've got the top six teams who are brilliant, from Argentina, Brazil, Spain, France, England, Portugal. You've got players who will be saying goodbye. As you rightly said, the Messis, the Ronaldos. Then there's Salah, Kane, Modric, the goalkeeper Manuel Neuer. So I think it's a World Cup for young stars as well as a good platform for the old guys to say goodbye. So let's enjoy this. Let's savor this World Cup. I wouldn't want to put a favorite. We've got the top six contenders. Beyond that, then there's Germany. There's Germany who's not even in the top six. The Senegal team, again, we spoke about them being patted down, a very strong team, but they may be mentally affected too after that harsh physical check, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's sad. I mean, the last time something like this happened was when South Africa and its apartheid, you know, connections or, you know, traditions and whatnot interfered with cricket. And they had some of the, you know, some of the world's greatest players in their team. Unfortunately, we could not savor their heroics, only because of their country's politics. And so politics and sports have often intertwined. There are several times, I mean, India and Pakistan, for instance. I mean, classic example of not just cricket, but across all sport, India and Pakistan don't see eye to eye. Iran and America have not seen eye to eye for decades now. So clearly this was, you know, this was coming. But I am hoping that once the first kick starts, then politics is relegated to the background and real football is going to help us overcome all our depression.
I'm sure it will. And the menu is so interesting. Mexico begins today. Canada, USA begins tomorrow. And then Brazil after that. So I think it's going to be football all the way. People forget all those harsh immigration strategies and rules that USA put in. Once the first ball is kicked, I think you'll see goals galore. Personally, for me, I watched Messi do it the last time. And he could be the first ever captain in the history of football to do it a second time. So that'll be amazing too. Ronaldo, yes, legend. I think the best send-off he can get is the World Cup trophy. And of course, England, we keep talking about England as the fairy tale team who somehow finishes as the bridesmaid at the Euro. But this is a different ball game. It's a good England side. I think, as you rightly said, football will take center space once the first whistle is blown tonight.
And I can't wait for the playoffs to happen, because then you'll have the top 8 and the top 16 teams, you know, fighting it out there. Absolutely brilliant World Cup, I'm hoping. And let's hope that once the curtain of politics is come down, you know, the curtains go up for great football to happen. Or as the Americans say, soccer. So that was our episode for this week. Thank you, Ashwin. Thank you myself for talking more than I deserve to be speaking in a sports podcast. But thank you everyone for listening to us. Here's Midday Maidan, and we'll come back next week. Bye-bye.